Stockim has the Manishtana Alayla Zemikol Halelos. The only question is, who says Manishtana? And depending on who says it, you have two different translations of what the term means. We usually assume the Kan Habein Shoel, the father makes Kiddush, and then it says you take away the whole table with all the food. We have big tables, so you can't move the table away, but in the days of the Mishnah, they used to have small tables, and you used to take away the table with the whole food. So the child would ask the father, why did they take away the table? And then it says, the Kan Habein Shoel, and it's assumed to be, and here the child asks, colon, quotation marks, Manishtana Alayla Zemi Kol Alayla, why is this night different from all the other nights? And he asks all of these questions. In the days in the Beis HaMikdash, they used to ask another question regarding the Korban Pesach. Today we don't have the Korban Pesach, so they ask these questions. The Rambam has a different girsa, apparently, in the Mishnah, that's the way he writes. The Rambam says, the Kan Habein Shoel, period. Not the Kan Habein Shoel, colon, quotation mark, Manishtana. Kan Habein Shoel, now the son asks, whatever happens to be bothering him, what in the world is going on? Why did they take away the table? And whatever he wants there. Why they bought the second coast, right? They fill up the second coast, and then the child asks, why do they fill the second coast? How come we don't go to Sehar Moisim? And then the Rambam writes that the father of the household, who is in charge of the evening, who is reciting the whole Haggadah to be Moitzi, everybody else, in the days of the Talmud, there used to be one person would recite the whole Haggadah, and everybody would be Yotze with Shemei Koine, like we do with Kiddush and Havdalah. One person recites Kiddush and Havdalah, and everybody's Yotze with Shemei Koine. So the Rambam writes, the father of the household, who is reciting the whole Haggadah, on behalf of everybody pays attention in their Yotze, he says, Manishtana Alayla Zemi Kol Halelos. In other words, according to the Rambam, it's not that these are the fear kashas, they're not fear kashas anyway. They're not really kashas, they're shayas. A kasha means a contradiction. How come over here it's white and over here it's black? It's an ishkan kasha. You ask, why do you eat matzah tonight? That's a kasha. How come all other days of the year you can eat from it's a matzah, and tonight you can only eat matzah? It's a kasha. It's not a contradiction. It's a shayas. It's a little bit imprecise anyway that they call it the fear kashas. You want to call it something, you should call it the fear shayas. The child asks four questions. But according to the Rambam, it's not really a question mark. Manishtana, why is this night different? It's a declamation. Like when Yaakov Avinu woke up after having his dream about the Malachim going up and down, so he said, Mano ra hamakom hazeh. So it's not that he's asking, why is this place more fearful from all other places? He says, how fearful this place is. Mano ra hamakom hazeh.
Actually, the word ma doesn't mean why. It means how.
Right, they would have said, right, in simple Hebrew you would say, Mipnei Ma. Mipnei Ma Nishtana Alayla Zeh. Why is this night different? We don't say Mipnei Ma, you say Ma Nishtana. So in the simple translation of Hebrew, it's not really a question. That's how they have in the modern Haggadah. They translate how different this night is from all other nights, and it's not a question, it's a statement. That tonight is very different, and you mentioned four differences. You mentioned the Matzah, and the Marah, and Haseba, and the tibul, the dipping, and then you proceed to tell the Haggadah. According to that, and according to that Girsa that the Rambam has, the Baal HaHaggadah says it. Not that the child says it, the Baal HaHaggadah says it. Right, and the purpose is so that the story of the Yetzias Mitzrayim should be related in the form of explaining Mitzvah HaLayla. All other nights of the year, all year long, there is a mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is derived from a pasuk which we mentioned in the Haggadah. And the Tanaim have a dispute whether that mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim is limited only to the daytime, because it says, Kol Yimei Chayecho, Kol is Marbe, even Leilos. You have the obligation to recite the third parsha in Kriyat Shema, which is recited for the purpose of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. Is that only recited in the daytime by Shachris? Or do you recite that in Ma'ariv as well? So that's a dispute among the Tanakh. Well, you have to recite the third parsha in Kriyat Shema by Ma'ariv. Our practice is that we do say it, but that's really the machloki. So one Tanakh says that Kol is Mar B'Leil. So if there's one Chiyuv to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim by Yom in connection with Shachris, davening Shachris, and another Chiyuv to mention the third parsha in Kriyat Shema in connection with Ma'ariv. The other Tanakh disagree and they say, no, that Kol is not Mar B'Leil. The obligation to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim is only in the daytime. In my rib at night, there's never any obligation. And the call is Marba Lahavi Lemos HaMashiach. Rabbi Kibeger, in his commentary on the Mishnah, points out that there's a Shinui Loshan over here. When the Chachamim say, Kol Yimei Chayecho Lahavi Lemos HaMashiach, they say that even when Mashiach will come, and there will be the Gulu Atido, which will outshine and outshadow all the other Yeshuas and Gulas of the past, it will still remain a mitzvah of Zechiras Tzias Mitzrayim to mention the story of the Tzias Mitzrayim. So they use the expression, L'havi L'mos HaMashiach, the mitzvah will even apply after Mashiach's times will after Mashiach will come. Then Zayma, who says that L'mos HaMashiach, this mitzvah of Zechiras Tzias Mitzrayim will not apply, because the Gula Hasida will outshine all of the past Gulas, including the Tzias Mitzrayim. So there won't be any need to speak about the Tzias Mitzrayim Masi Lavai. And he says that the phrase Kol Yemechayach Kol is coming to be Marvel Leilos. Until Yemos HaMashiach, the obligation to mention the Tzias Mitzrayim is both by Shachris and by Mayriv. In Kriyashma, you have to recite the third parsha. So the Rebbe Kiveger in his commentary on the Mishnah points out that Achreinim wondered why the terminology is changed. That Ben Zayman says Kol Yemechayach HaLeilos, and the Chachamim say Kol Yemechayach LaHavi. Why didn't they both say Lahavi, or why didn't they both just leave out the word Lahavi? Just say Kol. L'rabbis Halelos, a Kol Halelos. How come Ben Zayma says Kol Yimechayecha Halelos, and the Chachamim say Lahavi L'mois HaMashiach? So they say in the name of Ragalva V'Salavetchik that there's a major difference over here, that according to the Chachamim, who say that the expression Kol, They both Ben Zayim and the Chacham say that the word Kol is a rebuy, that not only does the mitzvah of the Zechiras Tzias Mitzrayim apply at one time, it even applies at another time. The only question is, which is the other time that it applies? Does it even apply to Ma'ariv, up until Yemos HaMashiach, Shachris, and Ma'ariv? Or does it come to tell me that this mitzvah applies even to Yemos HaMashiach, but only by Yom and not by Laila? So if you tell me that the mitzvah applies even to Yemos HaMashiach, then you're not telling me that there's a new chiyuv of the Zechiras Tzias Mitzrayim after Yemos HaMashiach. It means that this mitzvah that applies to Zman HaZeh will not become batel Yemos HaMashiach. But this is a mitzvah that applies L'adam L'netach Netzach. So that's why the Chachamim use the expression L'havi L'Yemos HaMashiach. That the Pasuk Kol is marba that the mitzvah will be L'havi L'Yemos HaMashiach. The mitzvah that applies to Zman HaZeh will still apply in Yemos HaMashiach. Whereas Ben Zayma is telling me that by Yom or Balayla there's a separate chiyuv. There's a chiyuv is a chiyuv Tzitzis Mitzrayim by Yom. And a separate chiyuv is a chiyuv Zechiras Tzias Mitzrayim Balayla, the two distinct chiyuvim. So they cannot say Kol Lahavi Halelos. It's not Kol Lahavi Halelos that Yemarbe that Laila is also included in this chiyuv. Laila is not included in the same chiyuv of Zechiras Tzias Mitzrayim by Yom. There's a separate chiyuv by Yom and a separate chiyuv by Laila. And Manash Al Zeh, look, is Manash Al Zeh. Each of the two mitzvahs is a mitzvah Saseh Shaz Man Grom. They're two different mitzvahs. No, the Rambam counts Kriya Shema Baboker Ba'erev as one mitzvah every day. And the Ramban, the Sefer HaMitzvah, says you should count it as two mitzvahs. But even according to the Rambam, that in the Minyan HaMitzvahs, in counting up the Taryag mitzvahs, and the 248 mitzvahs I say, you only count it as one, but it's still a separate chiyuv. For some purpose or another, for some reason or another, the Rambam holds that it's counted as one mitzvah. They're really two different chiyuvim. Manash al Zeh, look, is Manash al Zeh. There's a chiyuv by Yom, and there's a chiyuv by Laila, two different chiyuv. So that's why the Tanan used a different expression. The Ben Zayma, who says that it's Mar Balaylos, doesn't say Lahavi Halaylos. The chiyuv by Yom is not extended by Laila. It's a separate chiyuv by Yom and a separate chiyuv by Laila. And the Chachamim who say Lahavi L'Mois HaMashiach means that the mitzvah that applies to Zman HaZeh will still apply to L'Mois HaMashiach. So the Rishonim all ask a question. If we pass in a halacha like Ben Zayma, that this mitzvah of Zechiras Tzias Mitzrayim every day applies by Yom or by Laila and will not extend through L'Mois HaMashiach, that's how we pass. We say three parshias in Kriya Shema by Ma'ariv, just like we say by Shachris. We say parshias by Yomer. And the purpose of the third parshias by Yomer in Kriya Shema is not so much for the tzitzis. Other rabbi tzitzis is not Mehegis Balayla at all. This is only by Yom. But rather, the purpose of the third parsha is for Zechiris Yisrael Mitzrayim by Yom or Balayla. So in other words, we pass like Ben Zayma, that this mitzvah will not apply to Moshe HaMashiach. If the Mashiach comes, we won't have to mention. We'll have to say the first two parshas in Kriya Shema, Shachris, and Ma'ariv, but we'll leave out the third parsha. So the Rishonim asked a question already. He said, "Takamanish Tana Alayla Zenikol Alelus." What is special about Pesach night, different from all year long? All year long, there's also a mitzvah of Zechiras Tzias Mitzrayim by Ma'ariv. And if you didn't say by Ma'ariv, so you say it before you go to sleep. Sometime at night, there's a chiyuv to mention Tzias Mitzrayim. If you would have held like the Chachamim that the chiyuv of Zechiras Tzias Mitzrayim is only in the daytime, not at night time, and the kol is marbeli Moshe HaMashiach, so it's different on Leil Tezvav Nissan. What's different with Pesach night is that now it's night time, and tonight there is a chiyuv to mention Yitzias Mitzrayim, because tonight is the date of Yitzias Mitzrayim. But since we passed like Ben Zaymer, that every single day of the year there's an obligation to recite every night Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. So what is special about Pesach night? Manishtana Lana is there. That is a special Dina Vihikarat and Vincha Vayom Ohlima. You have that mitzvah every day of the year. That's the kasha that the Rishonim
is. But night, they say it was cooler than the
I mean, at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the sun was shining somehow, the Zohar said. Yeah, but let's say this coming Friday night, it's going to be Leil Pesach as well, it's going to be dark outside. So what do you need a special din of Sipa Yetzias Mitzrayim, Leil Pesach, a special mitzvah, you got it to Levincha? That's the regular mitzvah, every night of the year. When you daven Ma'ariv, you have to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim. So on Friday night, even though it's Pesach, you have to mention it twice instead of mentioning it once. Why? You can't fulfill the both obligations by mentioning Yetzias Mitzrayim once. Why not mention Tears and Time once in the Yoitz? So the Rishonim already say, and the Achronim spell it out, the Nesivus, in his Haggadah that's called Maisanisim, explains in Tariches, that the distinction between Pesach night, the mitzvah of Zechiras and Tears and Time on Pesach night, and all year long, is a completely different mitzvah. On Pesach night we call it Sipu Yetzias Mitzrayim, and all year long we call it Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, because the nature of the mitzvah is different. All year long, the Yotze, even if you tell the story of the kids in Nimrod, you just say one line, the last pasuk in Parshas Vayomer. In Kriya Shema, you just say, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Asher Hoteiti Eschem Eretz Tzam Dios Lachem Elokim, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. That's all, you just say one pasuk. On Pesach night, we say, Kol Amar B'Lasapeh HaReizem Meshuvah. So he's supposed to tell a story Baricha. So that's why one is called Sipur, and one is called Zechira. Zechira means just to mention, Zechira B'Yalma. And Sipur means to give, and Aricha is born to tell the whole Aricha. Another distinction between Pesach night and all year long is that all year long you go to the mitzvah by just telling it, by mentioning it. You mention Ani Hashem Elokeichem, there isn't even a din l'chatchila that you should tell it to somebody else. There's a mitzvah l'chatchila to daven with a minyan, fine. To daven ma'ariv with a minyan every night. Why not sehida mitzvah? But there's no mitzvah to, when you say Kriya Shema to say the Vayom, the last pasuk in Vayom, to tell it to someone else. You don't tell it to someone else. You recite the parsha of Kriya Shema b'tzibu, but you're not telling it to someone else. On Pesach night, even though we discussed last week with the Yevet, if you have nobody to tell the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim to, you tell to yourself, the Mishnah says. But still, there is a Hidur Mitzvah to tell it, L'saper L'achem, because Sipur means to tell the story to somebody else, to transmit the story L'hatzil. Hashem came Zechira, means the Kitz and Nimrus, and just to mention it. Another difference between Zechira, Yetzias Mitzrayim, and Sipur, Yetzias Mitzrayim is that the Sipur, Yetzias Mitzrayim, at Pesach night should be in connection with the Mitzvah Salayla. You shouldn't stop tell the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. You should tell the story in the form of explanation of mitzvah halayim. So that's why, whether according to the Rambam's pshat, that the balha, the one who is omer ha-hagadah, starts off by saying, ma nishtana alayla azem ikol alayla, it's not a question, it's a statement. How different this night is from all the other nights of the year. We have different mitzvahs tonight that we don't have all year long. And then I'm going to tell the story, avodim hayinu, to explain why we have these different mitzvahs. Whether you learn like the Rambam that the Baal has the Yomer HaHagod, that the father of the household, the head of the household recites the Manishtano, or that the child asks the question, doesn't matter. On Pesach night, the story of its Yisrael should be told by Riches, La'acherim, in the form of an explanation of Mitzvah Salat. So that's why we introduce the Avodim Hayinu, which is the Iker of the Haggadah, with these points drawing attention to the Mitzvah Salat. What are exactly the Mitzvah Salat? So you really should have three, Pesach, Matzah, Marah. So the Zman Shabbos and Mikdash HaYakam used to ask a question about Pesach. The Mishnah has, why all year long you can eat meat that's either basat, tzli, shalak, and mavush, either cooked or boiled or broiled or baked or whatever, fried, whatever kind of meat you enjoy. Alayla zeh kulo tzli. Pesach night, you're only permitted to eat broiled meat. So the Zman HaMikdash, they had a question regarding the Korban Pesach. The Zman is that we don't have a Korban Pesach, so you can't ask that. So we still retain the other two questions, why do we eat either the question or the statement that we eat matzah tonight and that we eat morah tonight. So there should have been Mizman HaMikdash three points, three mitzvahs mentioned, and Mizman HaZeh two mitzvahs mentioned. What are the other mitzvahs that we speak of? So we mentioned the mitzvah of Hesedah, that you have a mitzvah of Hesedah on Pesach night. That is a mitzvah midirabbanon, that's not a mitzvah midirabbanon. What is the nature of that mitzvah midirabbanon? So the Rambam points out, the Rambam doesn't have a different gear, so the Rambam points out, the Mishnah writes, "Behold, the Vodar Chayvaram there is a Sat Makil Hu Yak Mitzrayim." That everyone should have the feeling on Pesach night: did he just left Mitzrayim? Ze'ato, did he just left Mitzrayim tonight? That's the obligation that you have on Pesach night to have such a sensation. The Osana Hotzim Yisham. You have to quote the pasuk: Hakadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim. In addition to that, that Chayvaram there is a Sat. Everyone should have the feeling as if he left Mitzrayim. The Rambam writes, not a different Girsa, he writes that there is a mitzvah, that's a mitzvah in Atayr. Chai Varam Diris Hatzma Kiluho Yatzmashan. That's probably the most difficult mitzvah on Pesach night. To eat a kazayis matzah, to eat more, even to eat five kazayis matzah, not so hard. So you stuff small matzah down your throat. To drink that because it's to recite the Haggadah is not so hard. But to put yourself into the frame of mind, to have this idea in your head, that Ilah is very difficult because we look into the history of the world and we see the way governments come and go, and there's a rise and fall of every country, of every government, and it's hard to believe that if not for the fact that there was a Yetzias Mitzrayim so many years ago, we would still be Meshubadim Lefarav and Mitzrayim. But that's what we're supposed to believe. Not necessarily that we would be Meshubadim Paro Dairet. It doesn't mean we would be Meshubadim to the same Paro. What it probably means is that we would be Meshubadim to that type of a society. We wouldn't have the Torah values that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. And we wouldn't have been able to develop them on our own. So that's probably the most difficult mitzvah on Pesach night. Chai Varam Liris Esatzmo, to have this in mind on Pesach night, to think about this, to have the feeling as if we just left Mitzrayim spiritually tonight. But then the Rambam writes, there is a mitzvah with the Rabbana, that we call the Rodar Chai Varam Laharis Esatzmo. You have an obligation with the Rabbana to demonstrate that you have just become a Ben Choron. How does one fulfill that obligation? So the Rambam writes, there are two parts to this mitzvah. One part is to toast, to drink a toast, to drink l'chaim, four times. To drink the arba kaisis, derech eres. It should be a shtiyah areva, it should be a pleasant drink. If the person doesn't enjoy the wine, he chokes on it, he can't stand it. But then it's not a demonstration of cheres. Let's say a person wants to drink a toast, so he starts drinking schnapps, even though he's coughing and choking and he doesn't enjoy it. So the Rambam writes, no, he quotes the Gemara. It has to be a shtiyah areva, it has to be a pleasant tasting drink. And the Rambam quotes the Gemara that if you drink the wine and it's not mazug, you didn't mix in the wine with the proper amount of water and it's too strong, too powerful, so you're not yet to that mitzvah of laharas kiluhu yatzim mitzvah. You haven't demonstrated that you're a ben chorin. Because ben chorin drinks l'chayim and they enjoy what they're drinking. They don't suffer while they drink. So the Rambam writes, one part of this mitzvah of laharas is to drink abukosis. The other part of the mitzvah to demonstrate that you are a ben chorin is fulfilled by eating v'hesedah. Because free people in the days of the Tanoim and the Amoraim by the Greeks, by the Goyim, used to eat the Hasid. So the Farshim explained on the Haggadah, that's what Rav Soloveitchik used to say over every year from the Maisa Nisim Haggadah, from the Nesivis and others, that in the fear Kashis, or the fear Shailas, or the fear Mitzvahs, whatever you want to call it over here, we used to mention Pesach Matzah Umara, as much as they leave out the Pesach, they say Matzah Umara. These are the mitzvahs there, right? So then you mention the mitzvah of the Rabbanon of Chai Varam Laharas Atzmo Kiluhu Yatzim Mitzrayim. So we mention Hesedah. Once you mention Hesedah, Abrakosis is included, because Hesedah and Abrakosis are the two parts of this mitzvah of the Rabbanon of Chai Varam Laharas Atzmo Kiluhu Yatzim Mitzrayim, are demonstrating that we are B'nai Chorus. And then we mention another mitzvah, which is clearly a mitzvah of the Rabbanon of Matbilim. Why we dip in on Pesach night? What exactly is the mitzvah of Matbilim? That's a major problem. So the Rambam in the Yara Chazoke passes like Rav Loza Rav Tzorik in the Mishnah that Charois is mitzvah. The Tanoim had a machlokes regarding Charois. What's the story of Charois? Why do you have to dip the Moror into Charois? So the Tana, one Tana says in the Mishnah that it's just for the purpose of killing the worms inside the Charois. So what do you have to kill a worm for? It's not a matter of kashrus, because you're going to kill a worm, you're going to eat it. So apparently the worm is a kosher worm for some reason or another. That the Gemara leaves up to the Rashbam and Tosfos to explain why you're permitted to eat the Gemara with the worm in it. There's nothing wrong with eating the worm. The Gemara just says that it's unhealthy to swallow the worm while it's alive. So you have to dip the Gemara into the Haraisis in order to kill that worm, in order to kill a kippah. That's how the Gemara says, you shouldn't keep it. Kuf you pay out to kill a worm, that it shouldn't be unhealthy to swallow. So one Tana says in the Mishnah that the purpose of Haraisis is just for health reasons, just for medical purposes. And the Rambam fast is like Rav Lezer Rav Tzadik, who says that Charois is mitzvah, that even if you have mora that doesn't have any worms at all, there's still a mitzvah to dip the mora into Charois. Why is that a mitzvah? It's a mitzvah in Atera. A mitzvah in Atera can't be. It doesn't say a punch. A mitzvah in the Rabbana. What's the reason for the mitzvah in the Rabbana? A mitzvah in Atera, you don't have any kashi. What's the reason? A mitzvah in the Rabbana. Why in the world does the Chachamim institute such a mitzvah? So the Gemara is not sure. So the Gemara has three different guesses. One opinion is that it's Zechel Atit, to remember the cement that the Bnei Yisrael used to use in order to build all of these pyramids, in order to build all the buildings on behalf of power. One opinion in the Gemara is that it's Zechel Tafua, in order to remember the citrus trees. that the Jewish people used to hide under and make love. The husbands would make love with their wives, as the Pasuk says in Shir HaShirim. They had to hide from the Mitzrim, who didn't allow them to be together. It was precious Darachereth. They didn't allow the husbands to be together with their wives, so they used to make love under the tapuach trees, under the citrus trees. And then the third opinion, the Gemara is guessing. Why should Rav Lazar Rav Tzorek say the mitzvah to have charoset? And the third opinion appears in the Yerushalmi that it's a zechel adam, in order to remember all of the blood that was shed in Mitzrayim, all of the Jewish boys that were killed by the Mitzrayim. So the Gemara says, therefore, since there are two different possibilities as to why, if you assume that charoset is a mitzvah, if charoset nishke mitzvah, so you can use an antiseptic, or you can use whatever you want to kill a worm. Ask a doctor how to kill a worm. Ask a scientist how to kill a worm. Dip whatever you want. But we are machna like Rav Lezer and Rav Tzadik. The Rambam Pasuk is like Rav Lezer and Rav Tzadik, that it's a mitzvah to have charoses. In fact, the Rambam writes that not only do you dip the maror into the charoses, he says that you dip the mat into the charoses, and he says you dip the carcass into the charoses. Tosfos makes fun of the Rambam. You dip the carcass into the charoses, and there is no such thing. Dip the carcass into salt water or into vinegar. That's what it says. Into chometz, kosher pesach vinegar, of course. Should be kosher and kosher pesach vinegar. There should be salt water. But the Rambam says, no, the Rambam says, you dip, if charoses is only mishum kippah to kill a worm, then it only applies to dipping the mara, to kill a worm in the mara, if you think you have a worm in the mara. But the Rambam passes like that charoses is a mitzvah, so he says you have to dip everything on pesach night into the charoses. But the one exception of the korban pesach. Even with Bana Migdash, the Rambam doesn't require that you should dip the Korban Pesach into the Charoset. Apparently, you have to demonstrate that the Korban Pesach is so delicious that it doesn't need anything, doesn't have to be dipped into anything. Because when you have something that doesn't taste so good, then you dip it into mayonnaise, or you dip it into salad dressing, you dip it into something else. Korban Pesach is so delicious, you don't have to dip it into anything in order to enhance its flavoring. So this mitzvah of the Rabbanon, the Gemara says, of having Charoset, if it's Zechel Tit, to remember the cement that the Bnei Yisrael used to use when they were building a meher for the Mitzrayim. So it has to be tough, the semucha, it has to be very thick. If it's supposed to be zechel adam, if it's supposed to be to remember the blood, so you have to pour in a lot of red wine, and it should not, the daf can not be thick. The blood is not thick like cement, it should be very thin, very watery. And if it's supposed to be zechel etapuach, if it's supposed to be reminiscent of the tachas atapuach haraticha, the citrus trees, that under the citrus trees the Jewish couples would make love, so then the Gemara says it should have a little sharp flavoring from a citrus fruit. So therefore the Gemara says it should have all of them all combined together. So in the Shulchan Aruch they write, how can you have everything all combined together? Either it's thick or it's thin. If you want to have Zechel Adam, it's going to have to be thick, like cement. If you want to have Zechel Adam, you have to pour in a lot of wine that it should be very thin. And it should be red. If you're going to pour in white wine, it's not going to look like blood. So you have to pour in dafke red wine or a purple wine that it should look like blood. But it has to be thin. The Taka says in the Shulchan Aruch, based on the Tosfos, that first you should have the charoset should be thick. Sitting on the table should be thick. And then when you're about to dip the maror into the charoset, then you should start adding in a lot of wine and make it very liquidy. And then dip it in. It says in Shulchan Aruch that when Pesach falls out on Shabbos, like this, when Pesach falls out on Shabbos, so it's not proper to add the wine on Shabbos right before you're about to dip in the maror, because it's a hashash of lisha. On Yontif, you're permitted to do lisha. Lisha means to mix flour with water and to make a paste. So lisha on Yontif is permitted mitam heterech nefesh. If you're going to eat it, then you're permitted to make a dough, permitted to make a mixture. But on Shabbos, even if it's for the purpose of eating, even if it's for the purpose of Eichel Nefesh, there is no hetzer to do lisha. It says in Shulchan Aruch that whenever Pesach falls out on Friday night, you should pour your, whatever amount of wine you're going to pour into the charoset, you should pour in before Shki, before you bench lich, in order not to have to violate lisha on Shabbos. You won't have all the three zechers. You won't have such a combination of all of three. So this, according to the opinion of Rav Lezer ben Rav Tzadik, this is another mitzvah of the Rabbanon on Pesach night, the mitzvah of charoset. Either it's zechel etit, to remember the cement that Bnei Yisrael used, or it's zechel etapuach, to remember the citrus trees, or it's zechel adam, to remember the blood that was shed. So perhaps this is the pshat in the added shaila, or statement that we point out, that on Pesach night we do matbilim, we dip. What is a mitzvah? We have to introduce the Avodim Hayim, we have to introduce the Haggadah, by mentioning all the mitzvahs halayla. So Bizman HaMikdash, it says Pesach Matzah Umara. Bizman is that you leave out Pesach because we don't have it. They just have Matzah Umara. And then you add Mesubim. Mesubim goes together with Abrikosis. Those are the two parts of the mitzvah of the Rabbanan of having to demonstrate that you're a Ben Choron. Chai Baram Laharas Asatkin Kilhu Yotim Mitzrayim Zeapa. And then the fourth mitzvah that we mentioned is Matbilim. What exactly is the mitzvah? If you say Rav Soloveitchik said, if you're all like Rav Lezer Rav Soloveitchik, like the Rambam Paskins in the Yad HaZokah, that Haroset is a mitzvah, so then we understand, we speak about that mitzvah. If you hold like the other opinion of the Chacham, the Mishnah has Manish Tano, that doesn't say that only according to Rav Lezer Rav Soloveitchik you say that line. Sounds like even the Chachamim there, Rav Lezer Rav Soloveitchik, will also say the Manish Tano of Matbilim. But according to the Chachamim, that Haroset is not a mitzvah. So what mitzvah of the mitzvah Salayla are you referring to over here? Unless it you should perhaps say that you're referring to the mitzvah of Karpas. That Karpas is, again, it's not a mitzvah in Atar, Karpas is a mitzvah in the Rabbanan. What's our mitzvah in the Rabbanan? We mentioned last week, the Rambam writes in the Yad HaZokah that when you eat Karpas, you have to, the daf, you eat a kazayit. What do you have to eat a kazayit? So the Haggadah is Maimini on the bottom of the Rambam quotes in the name of the Maharam Ruthmer, that it must be a misprint, that there's no reason in the world why you have to eat a kazayit. That line that you have to eat a kazayit really belongs later by Maror. The Rambam, in the text of the Rambam, doesn't say you have to have a kazayit by Maror, so it really belongs later. And other rabbi, we have makbit to daf ketid, less than a kazayit of karpas in order not to get involved in a suffix boring the fashions. So that's the question though. According to the old text in the Rambam, it could be that karpas is a mitzvah sachilim in the Rabbanon. They were misakin. The reason why they were misakin karpas is kadesha yishalo hatinokos. But lemaisa, they were misakin as a mitzvah sachilim perhaps, and that's why you need a kazayit. So if you should say like that, then perhaps that's what we're alluding to. That's the additional mitzvah sachilim. So we point out either questions or statements that on this night of Pesach we have a lot of different mitzvahs that we don't have all year long. And we're going to tell the whole story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which will shed light on all of these mitzvahs. So we go later and we explain it. Now what's... We don't explain Karpas.
I mean, that's still the same.
We say it's a mitzvah, but we don't know why. The reason is, we don't spell it out in the text of the Haggadah. So that's how we introduce the Haggadah, either by pointing out the Yishayimus, by making the statements that tonight we have different mitzvahs, and we're going to explain the mitzvahs by telling the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Mishnah in Psachim also points out that there's another difference between Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim all year long, every night, as opposed to Sifri Yetzias Mitzrayim on Leil Pesach. But on Leil Pesach, you have to tell the story in the form of a contrast. You have to be Maskul Begnus, or Misayim Beshvach. You have to start off by saying what a bad situation our forefathers were in, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu redeemed them, and he made things wonderful. All year long, you don't tell such an arichus. You just say, you don't say that it was very bitter, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out. Just HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim, the kids in Nimr. On Pesach night, part of the arichus, call a marble safra, part of the marble safra is that you should be maskul bignus, u'misayim b'shvach. What exactly are you supposed to say, maskul bignus, u'misayim b'shvach? So the Gemara has the machlokes Rabbi Shmuel, two different opinions. What the nusach of the Haggadah should be? The one opinion is that you say Avodim Hayinu Lefarav Mitzrayim, by Yotiyeh Hashem Okeinu Misham, etc. The other opinion is that you say Mitchilo Abdi Avodah Zarah Hayaviseinu, the Achshav Kerbana Amakom Lavidosa. So in effect, we say two Haggadahs. We say two Haggadahs in one. We say both the Haggadah of Rab and the Haggadah of Shmuel. Rab only said one Haggadah, Shmuel only said one. Each one said a different nusach. And we, the Rambam, quotes from the Gainim, that they have combined, after the Chasinus HaTalmud, after the Zman HaMoiroim, they combined the both Nuskos of the Haggadah, the one from Surah and the one from Pumbadi, so they combined it, and they said the both Haggadah. What exactly is the Machlekes between Rav and Shmuel? So they say over in the name of Rav Elbel HaSalveitchik, Poshup Shat, that the purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim was, Ani Hashem Lakechem, Asher Hosei Seyes Chem Yeretzisam, Lios Lachem Lelekim, Ani Hashem Lakechem. The purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim is not Sam, that it was unfair that the Jews should be pashklavs and they should be servants and slaves to the Mitzrayim, and Kadosh Baruch Hu redeemed them, and that was the end of the story. No, Kadosh Baruch Hu took them out in order to give them a Torah at Har Sinai 7 weeks later, and they were counting Sfira to lead up from Pesach till Maimon Har Sinai. So the purpose, the tachlis of Yetzias Mitzrayim was Kabbalah Sator, Lias Lachem Lelekim, that Kadosh Baruch Hu should give us the whole Torah, we should be his nation, he should be our God. But the Yetzias Mitzrayim Gufa was only the act of leaving Mitzrayim. So that's the machloek is Rabbi Shmuel, which should you stress on Pesach night? So the one Amara says, Avodim Hayinu, Vayotzeinu, just stress the physical Yetzias Mitzrayim. We used to be slaves and work very hard, work our heads off. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu redeemed us, we don't have to work anymore. You just tell the story that occurred on Leil Pesach. And the other opinion is, no, that since the whole purpose, the whole tachlis of the Yetzias Mitzrayim is the Kabbalah Satorah, so it's better to start by saying, Mitzchila Avdei Avodah Zarah Hayavah Seir. Yashav Kervon HaMakom HaMakom Labedotsu. We stress the fact that we used to worship Avodah Zarah like all the other nations of the world. And then after Yetzias Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed us the light, and he gave us the true religion. The Mefarshim talk about this question. Our forefathers used to worship Avodah Zarah. Our forefathers referred to Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So who worshipped the Avodah Zarah? Yitzchak and Yaakov didn't worship any Avodah Zarah. Avraham Avinu? Sounds like Avraham Avinu originally worshipped Avodah Zarah. So this is the question. The Rambam and the Moreh Nevuchim says like that. That Avraham Avinu originally worshipped Avodah Zarah, and he looked around all the different Avodah Zarahs, and he tried everything out, and nothing worked, and he worked out the idea of monotheism, honestly, a hidden God, one God who created the world, and all of these Avodah Zarahs are all baloney. But the Rambam himself quotes the Midrashim saying that so. The Midrashim say that Avraham Avinu, Hikir Ezbar, at the age of three, Ben Gimel, Hikir Ezbar, at the age of three, so when did he worship Avodah Zarah? Before the age of three. So if it's hard to understand, so the Pashtus, right, different Midrashim, when Avraham Avinu began to worship HaKadosh Baruch. So the question is, according to the various Midrashim, that Avraham Avinu was at this, wasn't an Avid Avodah Zarah from a very young age, so who are we referring to over here? So the simple reading of the Haggadah sounds like we're referring to Avraham, we're referring to Avram, that he used to worship Avodah Zarah. Some Rishonim explained that it doesn't mean that. What it says in the Gemara and Brachos Lo Nikra Ovis Ela Shloisha, that the three founding fathers of the Jewish faith are Avram, Yitzchak, and Yankov. They were our forefathers. That after HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Avraham, and he told him that Goy Kalvoyim Yehi Mecca, that the Goy Gogol, I'm going to make you into a great nation. From that time on, Avraham became the father of a new religion. Avraham was Avraham on Goyim, and Yitzchak and Yaakov. These were the three of them. But before Bechiras Avraham Avinu, so who were the forefathers? Terach. Terach was our forefather. Biologically, he was our forefather. After Avraham was chosen, so Avraham was Jewish and Terach was a Goy, so we know, pi halacha, there is no relationship, there is no kurva between a Jew and a non-Jew. So we can no longer refer to Terach as Avistainu. But before Bechiras Avraham, Terach was Avistainu, biologically, he was our forefather. So that's a simple reading of the Haggadah, some of our Shishtem. Chilav, the Avodah Zarah, Hay Avistainu, Shenema, as it says in the Pasuk in Yeshua, Komar Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Be'evan, Yo Yashua, Avistaychem, Me'olam, your forefathers, who? Terach, Avraham, Vavinocha, Vayavdu, Lim Acherem. The Terach worshipped Avodah Zarah, and his forefathers worshipped Avodah Zarah. But then, Ve'ekeches Avichem es Avraham, Ye'evan, no, I chose Avraham to be the father of this new religion, and from that time on that Avraham was chosen, Ve'ekeches Avichem, from that time on, that's the next pasuk in Yeshua, Terach is no longer referred to as Avodah, because he's only a biological father, but Afi Aloche, since he was a non-Jew and Avraham was a Jew, there's no longer any kurva between the two. So other Mefarshim say that that's what we're referring to over here. We're simply referring to the Bechira Sa'avar. Then we continue to state, quoting the Pesukim from Sefer Yoshua, we keep on quoting, Vo'eten li'itzchok es Yaakov es Esav, Vo'eten le'itzchok es harseh le'resh esav, so Yaakov of one of Yordun Mitzroy. Why does Yoshua ben Nun mention this in the middle of the story here? He says, originally, our forefathers used to be Terach and his ancestors. But then HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Avraham Avinu to found a new religion, and from that time on, he is the beginning of this new nation, and only he, Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, are called the Avos. And whoever came before is no longer called an Av for this new religion that was just founded now. Yesh Me'ayin from Avraham Avinu, this monotheistic religion. So we speak that this religion was transmitted from Avraham to Yitzchak, and not to Yishmael. And then we say it was transmitted from Yitzchak to Yaakov, and not to Esau. So why do we mention over here, Bo'etan Le'esav is Harseil L'Reshes also? Why don't we just say that this religion was transmitted from Yitzchak to Yaakov? What do you have to mention that Esav went to Harseir? So the Mefarshim explained that there is a Mishnah in Maseches Nedarim where it says that if a person takes a neder not to get Hana'ah from the descendants of Avraham Avinu, from Zer Avraham, so Zer Avraham doesn't include those there are a lot of non-Jews who are descendants from Avraham Avinu also. They're the Yishmaelim. Yishmael was also a son of Avraham Avinu. So what about all those who happen to be descendants from Yishmael? So the Mishnah says they're not included in the term, in the phrase, Zer Avraham. And what about the descendants from Esau, who come out of Yitzchak? Yitzchak had two sons, he had Yaakov and Esau. So only Yaakov and Avonov are considered the Zer Avraham. So the Gemara and the Rambam ask, how do you know that? That only Zera, the Tosis points out that Bain in biblical Hebrew means a biological child, and Zera means the one who carries over, Zera Kashuk, or Zera Posel, the one who carries over the tradition of the father, of the forefathers. So how do you know from the Chumash, from the Tanakh, that Zera Abraham only refers to Yitzchak and only refers to only to Yaakov, because the Pasuk says, Ki bi Yitzchak yikar lecha Zera. Only Yitzchak was told to Avraham Avinu, only Yitzchak will carry over the tradition of Avraham Avinu, and Yishmael will not. So Yitzchak is called Zera Avraham, and Yishmael is not. But how do you know that from Yitzchak only Yaakov is called Zera Avraham, and Esav not? So the Gemara says, Ki bi Yitzchak velo kol Yitzchak. Not all of Yitzchak, only part of Yitzchak will carry over the tradition. So from the two sons that Yitzchak had, Yaakov and Esav, how can you tell which one was the one who's going to carry over the tradition? So the Gemara never explains. How can you tell from the Chumash? How can you tell from the Tanakh? The term Zera Avraham appears in two different places. It says that Eretz Yisrael is going to be given to Zera Avraham, to the, those who carry over the tradition of Avraham Avinu. And then it says also, Ger Yer Zarach Beretz Lo Lohem, that your descendants, those that carry over your tradition, will have to go into Golus. So the Pasuk here says, "V'et alayta v'sarseh l'reshes also." Esav didn't suffer any galus. He took his harseir, and he had himself a good time. He didn't suffer at the hands of any foreign nation. The Yaakov avon yored the Mitzrayim. Only Yaakov and his descendants went to Mitzrayim. So therefore, just like Yaakov was the only part of Yitzchak who was included in the Ger Yezarach of Eretz Lomahem, so that determined that only Yaakov is the Zer Avraham, and not Esav. So therefore, the promise of giving Eretz Yisrael to the Zer Avraham refers to the Zer Avraham, those who are descendants from Yaakov, not to those who are descendants from Esav, not to those who are descendants from Yishmael. Whoever is the Zera for the going into the Golus, Ger Yer Zarach Be'eretz Lo Lahem, those people are the Zera for the purpose of the Haftocha of Eretz Yisrael. The Haggadah has to be related in the form of Talmud Torah. We mentioned last week. So in Talmud Torah, we have a klal that chanoch lanar al pi darko. You have to teach each child according to his capability. You can't teach all the children in the same way. Many times you have big rabban and big talmid chachamim who don't realize this. They think that just like they say a shir in the yeshiva on the highest level, they say a pilpul and a mashah and a maram shir, whatever, a sheram. So they think that they're going to raise their children also the same way. Maybe they'll succeed in one or two of the children, but not necessarily. Maybe they'll succeed in all, but not necessarily so. You have to be mechanech each child differently. So the Baal HaGadah speaks about how you're supposed to relate to Chinuch Abban. It says, Keneged Abba, Abban Divater. There are four different, the Chumash speaks about the four different children. So you have to give Chinuch to the children in different ways. Some people feel, even if the child is a Rosh Marusha, that they shouldn't be Merachik the child. Even if he's a Narida, the son marries a Shikse, you still have to keep tight. So the Baal HaGadah says, that's not. If you have a son who's Chalila or Rosh, you have to be Merachik him. You have to hit him over the head. Haki Hashinov, and you have to tell him, Baba Zelas Hashem, they leave a loyal. You have to, even though he's your own child, you shouldn't invite him to the Haggadah. He's Ma'at Hashiks or whatever, he's a Chal Shabbos or whatever, unless you think that you stand a chance of being the car of him back to be Hashem and Mitzvah. But if you see you don't stand any chance at all, then the Baal HaGadah says, even though he's your own child, so you have to be Merachik. That's exactly what we learned from the Parsha of Ben Sora and Mora. The Gemara says Ben Sora and Mora one time it says, Lahoy of Elohim Elias. It's physically impossible to have a Parsha Ben Sora and Mora. The father and the mother should be the same height and the same age and the same tone voice and they're so many different conditions. The Gemara says that it's physically impossible. So why in the world does the Torah write a Parshat Ben Sora Mor? Rosh v'kabel tzar. So what do you mean Rosh v'kabel tzar? So some say Parshat Shad, you should learn the moral of the story that is, even though the father and the mother love all of their children, but if they have a child who's a Ben Sora Mor, it's a mitzvah hamotel asalein to bring him to the police and to arrest him and to put him in jail. Say, if your child is a communist and is giving your wife or your husband is a communist, is giving all the secrets to the Russians. He used to be a tofu for years and years after McCarthy investigations. He used to tofu all the time on the radio and in the newspapers, on the television, everything. You know that your wife or your husband is giving all the secrets to the communists. Should you master to the government or not? So the Torah says 100% you should master. You should try to straighten them out. And as the gatefish, then you have to master. That's exactly the moral of the lesson of the story of Ben Sora Mor. So the Baal HaGadah tells us, Keneged Abba Divrei Torah, you have to be Chanoch Lanai Al Pi Dark, each child differently. And some children, the Rosha, if you see that he's a Rosha Merusha, you can't do anything with them. So you have to bop him over the head. And the other children, you have to give Chinuch on a different level. And even any of their Lishol, some people have an attitude that they'll only tell over Torah to their children if the child asks. If the child doesn't ask, they're not going to tell. How's the child going to know to ask anything? How is he going to ask whether God exists? You're not going to tell. He's going to keep it a secret. If the kid asks, was there ever such a thing of the atheism, then I'll be happy to tell. But if the kid doesn't ask, you won't give him the information. So that's ridiculous. We believe that the Sheni Yadei Alishol is also Hatzachlo. In the Chinuch HaTorah, you have an obligation to give over the tradition, even if the child doesn't display any inquisitiveness and he doesn't display any interest at all. You have to transmit the Torah to everybody. Of course, Kolecha Kefi Madre Gosa, the Chacham, you have to give more, and the time you give less. Any day, Elisha, he tried to whet his appetite until he's interested. It's interesting, the Chacham asks a question that sounds came out the same as the Rasha. All of the Mepharshim Amna HaGoda discussed this. The Rasha is to be condemned, Hakei Yeshina, because he says, Moha Avodah Zos Lachem. Why do you keep all these mitzvahs HaTorah? The Chacham asks the exact same questions. Moha is, Vachut V'mishpat HaMashat Tziva Hashem Alkeinu, Estem. So the Mepharshim asks, isn't it the same? So they give different explanations. So the Beis HaLevi has a famous comment that he says that the difference between the Chacham and the Rosh is that the Chacham speaks with Shem Shamayim Shoga B'Fiv. He mentions the name of the Ribbono Shel Olam. In Europe, the plain Balabatim always would mention the Shem Shamayim. I remember my grandmother, who was from Galitzi, she would always say, Zayin Heilige Nomen. Every other sentence was Zayin Heilige Nomen. She wouldn't say God, and she wouldn't say the Ribbono Shel Olam. He would always say, His holy name, that Helge Nomen should do this, the Helge Nomen is all the bench, or whatever. Every other word was like, Shem Shemaim, Shogu B'Fiyah. So that's the Chacham, even though he says, Ashatziv Hashem Okeinu Eschem, is what are the mitzvahs that Hashem commanded you? But he says that Hashem commanded you. The Rasha doesn't mention Shem Hashem, he just says, Moha Vaida Zos Lachem. Since he doesn't mention Shem Shemaim, so he's giving away, he's implying that he doesn't believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's how the Beis HaLevi says, that's how a whole group of Mepharshim says. Others give a different interpretation, that the difference between the Chacham and the Rosh is different, that by the Chacham, who asks the question, Moho Eres Vachukam HaMishpatim, the pasuk before that in the Chumash says, V'hoye Ki Yisholcha Binchom Mochar Leymar, if your son will ask you Mochar, the next day he'll ask you, the day after he does the mitzvahs, whereas the Rosh asks the questions, take it from here, Moho Avoyra HaZois, why are you doing the mitzvahs now? The difference between the two being that the Chacham is willing to do the mitzvahs even though he doesn't understand the reason. After he fulfills the mitzvah, then he wants to know what is the moral lesson to be learned, what is the religious principle, what is the ethical principle to be learned from the mitzvah, what's behind the mitzvah, what's the reason for the mitzvah. But the Rasha asks the time for the mitzvah before he's about to fulfill the mitzvah, implying that if he's not satisfied with the reason, he's not going to fulfill the mitzvah. So that's Rishus, that's not right. That's the whole idea of Kabbalah Samacha Shamayim, that we have to, right, not the Nishma, you have to fulfill the mitzvahs even if you don't understand what they're all about, provided that you know that you got it straight. If you're not sure what you're supposed to do, then you have to ask first, what am I supposed to do? But once you know what the obligation is, that once you have, let's say, Rav Paskins Hashar, the din is that it's mutter, or the din is that it's Tosav, whatever the din is, you have to follow. So you have a right to ask, are you sure that you have, maybe you made a mistake, or maybe you should argue the point, but once you're clear that the Chacham knows what the facts are, and he thinks that he knows what the din is, then you have to listen to his psak, even if you think that he's wrong. If he's your Chacham, if he's your rabbi, then you have to be mekabel his psak. Just like you have to be mekabel the dinim from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even though we don't really understand many times what they're all about, you have to do the dinim, even if you don't understand the time. You have to be mekabel the psak of the Chachamim also. That's in fact why the Chacham asks the question, Moho eres v'achut v'mishpatam ha-shatziv ha-shem al-keinu eschem. What are the dinim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has commanded the Jewish people? So we don't tell them the dinim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded. We tell them the dinim that the Chachamim instituted. We tell them, Eim Aftir Nacha Pesach HaVikoyim. Kedei Sheyehei Tam Matzu B'Fit. Kedei Sheyehei Tam Pesach B'Fit. That's not a din deraisa. That's only a din derabbanan. If the child asks, what are the dinim deraisa? So we tell them, the dinim derabbanan, because the dinim derabbanan are also dinim deraisa. Some of Arshim have the girsa that we teach him everything ad. That's the last Mishnah, next to the last Mishnah in Pesachim. We teach him all of the Mishnahs and Avi Pesachim up until the very last. And others say, no, not odd. We have the Girsa. We teach him, we tell him the Dinim Derabbanon. If he's asking, what are the Dini HaTorah? So we can tell him Dinim Derabbanon. Dinim Derabbanon are also the Dini HaTorah. They're included in the Dini HaTorah. There is an interesting comment that the Stefano has in his Biur on Chumash, the Shelos HaRasha. The Rashi asks, Moha Avodah Zos Lachem. So the Sfarno interprets the Pshat as follows. Lachem meaning, why does everybody have to bring his own Korban Pesach? So Yochid V'Yochid has to bring a Korban Pesach. Nida Kazayas, Why not have the whole Klal Yisrael bring one Korban Pesach like you have a Korban Tamid, like you have Korban Sam Nisafim? So the Klal, the whole Tiber brings one Korban. So why shouldn't Klal Yisrael bring one Korban Pesach? So the answer is given to him. The Sfarno explains in the following Pesukim. We don't have those Pesukim in our Haggadah quoted over here. The Sfarno interprets the Pesukim to mean that the nest Mitzrayim was not a nest that was done to the Jewish nation as a nation. It was done to each and every individual Jew. Those who slaughtered the Korban Pesach to demonstrate that they don't believe in the Korban Mitzrayim, they don't believe in the Mitzvah Dora, the Egyptians used to worship the calf. So those who would slaughter the Korban Pesach, Mikzorek, the Dam, Hashem, the Allah Mashko, so it was Pesach Hashem, Allah Pesach. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't cause Makkos Choras to occur in their home. Those who didn't believe, and those who didn't bring the Korban Pesach, so the Magefa did occur, and people did die. There was Makkos Choras in their home. Since the nest of Makkos Choras wasn't the nest slowly to the whole Jewish nation, the Russian says only 1/5 went out. 4/5 of the Jewish people died because they were Rishoyim. 80% were not Zeichet to the Gula, only 20% were Orthodox. Pretty high percentage. 20% were Orthodox. Or observant, however you want to place it. Yeah. However you want to word it. So in other words, the people who didn't believe Taka didn't happen. That's why we tell the Russian. Why do you say Ilohay Hashem Lohay Aligal? Because those who weren't Maminim, those who didn't fulfill the mitzvahs, they didn't have the Schus of Pesach, they didn't have the Schus of Mila, Taka didn't have the Gula. And they stayed behind. They were the 80% who died in Mitzrayim. Only the 20% who were Maminim left Mitzrayim because the Nisim occurred on an individual level, not on a Tzibudika level. And that's what the Mefarshim points out. The Mishnah says in Psochin that Chol Dovador Chai Vodom Liris Esat Mekilu Hu Yotzim in Mitzrayim. Everyone every year has to have the feeling as if he left Mitzrayim. The Ficha Chanach the only reason why we have the obligation to recite the Halal on Pesach night is because Chai Vodom Liris Esat Mekilu Hu Yotzim in Mitzrayim. They have the sensation as if we left Mitzrayim. If this nest would have only occurred to our forefathers, then we wouldn't have recited the Halal. We wouldn't have recited the Bracha, Asher Yalon on Pesach night, because the Gemara says in Brachas that if a nest happens to one of my ancestors, and he almost died, and he was Nitzal, so he says Bracha, to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Brachas Haidoya, and his children and his grandchildren, but only up until the third generation. Past the third generation, you don't say the Brachas Haidoya. So, Mefarshim ask on the Maharam Chalavah that that's very difficult. The Gemara says there in Brachas, in the last paragraph in Brachas, that that limitation, that restriction, that the say the Brachas Shalom Nisim Ladatani. Say the Brachas Purim Shalom Nisim Ladatani. So we're not the second generation, we're not the third generation. We're way many, many, many generations later. We still continue to recite the bracha. So Mamash Tana Pesach night, why can't you say the bracha, the Birchas HaNes on Pesach night, even if it's not Osono Hotz Mishon? Why does Mishnah say, Chai Varam Levis Esatz Mekilu, Hu Yotzim in Mitzrayim, you have to have the feelings if we left Mitzrayim, the Ficha Chanat Nechayavim Lohodot, that's why we say the Birchas HaDoyo. On Chanukah Purim, you don't have the sensation that the Nes occurred to us. And we're not the second or the third generation, we're many generations down the line, and we still recite the bracha. So the Mefarshim explained that that's exactly the difference, like the Sfarno says. Because on Chanukah and Purim, it was a nest that occurred to the Jewish nation as a whole, as a tzipur. Mashenikin on Pesach night, the nest of the Geula was li b'lo lo, ilo ha'yisham lo ha'yinigal. It was a nest that occurred to each and every individual person. So that's why the Sfarno explains, that's why we say, moha v'rezos lochem. The Rosh asks, why does everybody have to bring a Korban Pesach to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Pesach means Pasach HaBati Aviseinu. It's like a Korban Hoidoyo. Let the whole Klal Yisrael buy a Korban Pesach from the Machatz HaShekel money, like the Tmidim HaMasofim. The Klal Yisrael should bring the Korban Pesach on Erev Pesach, Erev Tachatzai. So the answer is no. This nest of Yitzias Mitzrayim, of Makkos Choras, the Pasach HaShem on HaPesach, was not a nest that occurred to the Tzibur. This was a nest that occurred to each and every individual Yochid. And that's why the Yechidim, each person has to celebrate the nest himself. And that's why we say those who were Rishoyim would not have participated in the nest. Leave alone low. Those who didn't believe, those who wouldn't fulfill the mitzvah of Dam Milo and Dam Pesach, Ala Mashko, wouldn't have been legal. So that's why we recite the Halal on Pesach night, because we are Sona Hotem Yisham, and not because it was a nest that occurred to Klal Yisrael. The Taka was not a nest that occurred to the Klal Yisrael. That's what it would appear to be from the Haggadah itself. Then the Haggadah points out that the Yochel Mirash Chodesh, a quotation from the Mechilta, that the mitzvah of Sipit Yitz Mitzrayim can only be fulfilled by Laila. Yochel Mibad Yom Tam Alom Mibad only by Laila. That's why it says in the Shulchan Aruch that one should not begin to recite the Kiddush until it definitely says Hakuchav. Even if you happen to dab Marav a little early in Shul, but you should make sure you don't begin the Kiddush on Pesach night till after Tzeisach Chametz. Not so by the time you walk home, the stomach said, it's really going to be Tzeisach Chametz. Tzeisach Chametz is not so much, not Chatzeis Halayim, it's not so late. It's interesting, in the Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam writes in Minig that on Shabbos HaGadol, the Minig was that you recite the Haggadah from Avodim Hayinu till halfway through the Haggadah, more than halfway through the Haggadah. And the Vilna Gaon attacks the Rambam, he says that it's wrong. Because it says exclusively, Yochum Erash Chodesh Taim Eloim Ebayom Ahu Ebayom Ha-Yochum Ebayom. It's wrong. So how does he see that it's wrong? The Rambam is not saying a din that you must recite the Haggadah. He's saying a minig. He's not saying a din. It's not a din in HaTorah. It's not a din in Rabbanon. He says it's a minig that's developed by the Ashkenazim in Europe, in his part, Eastern Europe, that to recite the Haggadah on Shabbos and Haggadah to prepare in advance. So how does the Vilna Gaon come off and he says that it's wrong? How can you say the minig is wrong? It just says in Haggadah you're not obligated to recite the Haggadah earlier than Pesach night. But where does it say that it's forbidden? So many say that the Vilna Gaon probably understood this Mechilta, this Brisa from the Mechilta, the same way that Sam Sefer understands. Sam Sefer in his Rosh Hashan Chumash, I'm beginning of Parsha Tzav, understands this to mean that it's not proper. Not that you're not obligated to recite the Haggadah earlier, but it's rather, whenever you're not obligated to, then it's improper to recite the Haggadah earlier because you're going to take away from the surprise element of the story. You want that the story should be chadoshim b'yenecha. You want that it should be something new, that the children already know. My children already know the fear kashas and avodim in the home. They know the whole nusach in their sleep. So when it comes to Pesach night, it's anticlimactic already. So that's what it's not supposed to be like. The children are not supposed to know the story in advance. It's supposed to come Leil Pesach to the Leil HaSeder and hear it then for the first time and to be surprised. Their eyes are supposed to open. Oh, that's what happened. That's what Yitzias and Shalom. That's what Matzah is. That's what Mor is. That's what HaSeder is. But if they already know everything, so you're taking away from the excitement that's supposed to be on Pesach night. So that's what some claim, that that's the kavana of the Vilna Gaon. When he says that the Ramah's meaning is an improper meaning, because he says Yochel Mirash Chodesh, some claim that he understood the Yochel Mirash Chodesh to mean, Yochel, there should be an obligation to recite. The simple pshat means, one might think that since the entire Chodesh Nisan was singled out by the Torah, as a Chodesh Azalachem Rosh Chodesh, was the Chodesh Abu'ula B'nissim Nigalu, that one would have thought that starting from Rosh Chodesh Nissan is already this man of Yitzias Mitzrayim. In a certain sense, this is the Chodesh Agula. Talmud Lomar, no. Yochel Mibad Yom may be at the time of Shchitas HaPesach and Erev Pesach after Chatzos. That's already this man of the mitzvah. Talmud Lomar, no. But was that only Bishoah, only Balaila. So the simple reading of the Braita is that the Chiv doesn't begin until then. So there's only Goyen and the Chacham Sofer seem to learn more than that. Whenever the chiyuv doesn't begin, then you shouldn't chapois in advance to say the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim. You should wait till you have the chiyuv, so that when you tell the story on Leil Pesach, it should be with great excitement, and it should make a greater roshim on the children. We praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we give a bracha to Hashem Yisbarach, Baruch Shema Haftachot of Yisrael Baruch Hu, that He kept His Haftach. And then we lift up the bech and we say, V'hi Shamdal Abisein. So the simple pshat, V'hi Shamdal Abisein of Alonu, is referring to the Haftocha that we began in the previous paragraph. Baruch Shema Haftochasoi. Hashem kept His promise. And we say, V'hi, Haftocha is Loshen Akeva. That promise that He gave the Jewish people, Shamdal Abisein of Alonu, that's what kept the Jewish people going all these years, because as the Gemara says in Masech HaShabbos, that Zuchus Ovis has a limit. Let's say I went to the yeshiva with a certain fellow, and his son is now in the yeshiva now, and he's not such a good Talmud. It gives me a lot of trouble. So because I was a roommate of his, or because he was a friend of mine, or because he's a nice guy, whatever, so I give his son a break. That's chusav. And then when his grandson comes to the yeshiva, another 25 years, and his grandson is going to be worse than the son, let's say, so I'll give him a break also. When his great-grandson is going to come to the yeshiva, another 25 years after that, how far does it go, this chusav? So the Gemara says that chusav has a limit. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loved Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and in the Tzchus of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, He gives their descendants a break, even if they don't really deserve it. But the Tzchus obviously has a limit. It doesn't go for thousands and thousands of years. So why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu still continue to give us a break? So the Gemara says, because even though Tzchus obviously is tamo, it ended, nevertheless, Bris obviously is loy tamo. The Bris, the priest's Bris means al koponim. That's what a Bris means. The Bris means a promise that come what may. Whether your descendants will deserve it or not, a shvua, and the bris means al koponim, the Ramban writes on Chumash.
I'll call upon them, whatever will happen, whether they will deserve it or not, I promise that I'll always give them a break. So that's what we say. Baruch Shem HaHaftachos Eli Yisrael Baruch Hu HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps his Haftocha. And the Hisham Delah the Sein of Alonis, because of that Haftocha, that bris, and that Shvuah, that we are still around today, that if it were only for this Chus Ovis, this Chus Ovis already wore off a long time ago. But because of the bris Ovis, that's the Haftocha, that's why the Jewish people are still around to speak of that.
He also caused the problem in the first place. That was one of the other problems that came across. All the Mas Hashem.
Another point. Okay. It's a different point. But all of the anti-Semitism that we have, perhaps generations, many generations have come where we really didn't deserve to be speared.
The only reason that everybody's picking on us is because we are Hashem's nation.
Okay. Maybe that's part of the risk. Okay.
So what's the significance of the couple of points? The first back up top, so what's the couple of points?
A toast. You're drinking a toast, I've got his bowl. That's only a minik. Picking up the cup of wine is only a minik. Then we have another minik. Whenever you pick up the wine, they cover over the matzah. The matzah should really be exposed the whole time. That you should have the CPSS and Shaima connection with one of the mitzvahs halayla. I mentioned last week that the Zman HaMikdash in the Tziv says they didn't have yachat. They didn't start with matzah and say holach ma'anya. The Rambam says holach ma'anya is Aramaic. So obviously that was introduced in Bavel. The Zman HaMikdash, before they went into Golas Bavel, they didn't have to have any matzah. They had the Korban Pesach on the table, and the Shoshiyesh Korban Pesach, Munah HaFanecha, that bar was there. But after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, and there's no longer any Korban Pesach, then you have to have Lechem Oni, you have to have some mitzvah on the table. And Marer, the Zman HaZeh, is only with the Rabbanon. The Gemara says, Marer is only a mitzvah Menatera in conjunction with Korban Pesach. So the only mitzvah Menatera we have today is the matzah on Lel Pesach. So you have to put the matzah right up front, right before you begin. So you break the matzah to make it into a lechem oni. Madarka shaloni b'prusa, you break the matzah yachat. And then you declare, holach manya, this is the lechem oni. And that enables me to recite the Haggadah. So we have, because we recite the Haggadah over the matzah, so we have another meaning that whenever we pick up the becher, then we cover over the matzah. Because the matzah is really more choshev than the wine. If it were bizman amigdosh, and it wouldn't be matzah, it would be korban pesach, and you wouldn't have to cover anything up. You can pick up the wine from today till next year. And the flesh wouldn't feel embarrassed, because the yayin is always more chashuv. In brachas, yayin is always more chashuv than basa. But yayin is not as chashuv as pas. So if you're picking up the wine, then you're supposed to cover over the pas, shalayir b'shos. That's the meaning. The Rishonim comment on the nusach that we say in the Haggadah, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu chishev es haketz la'asos, the Rishonim points out that the word ketz is a gematria of 190 Kuf Tzarek, that originally HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that the Golas Mitzrayim would be 400 years, Arba Mea Shana, and then the Mitzrayim, it was only reduced, it was only 210 years. So what happened to the missing 190 years? So the Midrashim asked that kash. So there are two different answers given by the Medrash. One answer given by the Medrash is that starting from the day that Yitzchak was born, Eretz Yisrael didn't yet belong to, Avraham Avinu didn't yet have the complete chusim to Eretz Yisrael. It belonged to him, but he didn't have the Kinyan Peretz yet. The Nachar and the Yom HaSalem who were there still retained the Kinyan Peretz. So from the time of Leidas Yitzchak, the Bris Ben Absorim began to be fulfilled that Ger Yer Zarach, Beretz Lomahem. Yitzchak was Zer Avram, and he was Beretz Lomahem in a certain sense, Eretz Yisrael, although it already did belong to Avram Avinu, but it didn't fully belong to Avram Avinu. So that answer is given by one Medrash, that from the time of Leidas Yitzchak till Yitzchak's time, there were a full 400 years. Rashi quotes that. Then there's another Medrash that Rashi and Chumash does not quote. Another Medrash says that the Shibud really should have been for 400 years, and the Mitzrayim should have worked to a certain degree, but the Mitzrayim made them work their heads off. So the Koshi HaShibud was Mashlim. They worked in 210 years so hard, as much as the Rebbeinu Shalom, they worked overtime. Yeah. So they worked as much as the Rebbeinu Shalom really meant them to work for 400 years. So the Bris Gerah pointed out that these are not really two different terutzim. On Akasha, you can either say one teretz, V'yod Yishlam, you can say another teretz. You need the both terutzim to be mashlim in the kasha, because it says in the Bris Ben Absorim, Yodoa teida ki ger yezaracha beretz lo lohem. We mention it. You should know ger yezaracha beretz lo lohem arba me'ashonah. Your descendants will be gerim and eretz lo lohem for 400 years. And then it also says ve'inu oitzim arba me'ashonah, that they will suffer for 400 years. So these are two different kashas. How come they were only mitzrayim for 210 years? What about the Golos for 400 years? And how come they were only working for 210 years? They should have been working for 400 years. So these two answers answer two different kashas. The one answer explains that from the time of Leidas Yitzchok till Yetzias Mitzrayim was a full 400 years of Ger Yer Zarach, of Eretz Lo Lohem. And the Koshi HaShibud, they worked so hard, That's why they worked in 210 years, the amount of work that they would have done in a full 400 years if they would have only made them work decently. So they say in the name of the Bris Kerov that this is a very complicated cheshbon, that these two cheshbonos that are running simultaneously should end at the same time. That the Koshi Hashibut should turn out to be 400 years worth of malacha, boom, exactly at the time that the 400 years end from the time of Leidas Yitzchak. It's quite a stunt that you have to have a barometer to be able to measure that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had the ability to measure it. And he thought with that the Mitzrayim wouldn't be Meshabed, the Jewish people, more than 400 years worth. In fact, the Shiva would end a year before Yetzias Mitzrayim. That the Sefer says that the Esam Makas took a whole Yud Beis Chodesh, a whole year. Mishpat says that the maximum punishment that anybody ever gets is 12 months. Mishpat Rishon B'Gehenim is Yud Beis Chodesh. The maximum punishment that any Rashi gets if he goes to Gehenim is 12 months. Hardly anybody suffers so long, but the maximum you get is 12 months. So it says that the Mitzrayim, that the Sefer says in Sefer, that the Mitzrayim suffered the maximum. That the Esa Makas that they had were stretched out over the course of a full year's time. And already from the beginning of the last year, before you see it, in the last year the Jews already were pasach from the Shibud. They didn't have to do any work. So the 400 years of, from the time of Leila Tzitzchak, of Ger Yezarach Beretz Lolohem, that was only ended at the end of that year. And the Koshi Hashibud caused the 209 years, wasn't 210, it was 209 years, to be the equivalent of 400 years of normal work the year before. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chishev is HaKeitz Lazoz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in his keeping the record, worked out the calculations, and he declared that his, that what he said by the Bris Ben Absalom, that there's going to be 400 years of Shibud, 400 years of Avdus, that everything, 400 years of Golus, that both were already fulfilled at the same time, simultaneously.
So the Torah says Rosh Hashanah is 430
years. Yeah. Rashi explains that the 30 additional years was 30 years before Leidas Yitzchak was this Bris Ben Absalom. The Rishonim point out that the Lashon of the Pasuk, the Gamas Agoya Shayavoidu Don Onochi, is a little unusual. It really should say Gamas Agoya Shayavoidu Odun Onochi. I will judge them. That the Mitzrayim who will cause the Jews to suffer, I will judge them. Why does it say Don Onochi? So the Rishonim speak about this. So Leitchik said over on Medrash, where the, I think we must have mentioned on different occasions, Medrash says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is judging in a court case between Bnei Yisrael and Umas Olam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu first serves as the Baldin, the Tain on behalf of the Jewish people. Then he turns around and he serves as the Shofet, as the Dayan to judge the case. And then he will serve also as the Shofer to implement the punishment. In case the Umas Olam are not willing to accept the punishment upon themselves, so then he will force them to suffer the punishment, whatever punishment they deserve. But first the Medrash says HaKadosh Baruch Hu will serve as the Baldin to Tain on behalf of the Jewish people. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik said, is a literal translation. Like you say a Hebrew expression, when you have two people arguing out a case, so the Baldin, one of the two Baladinim, argues out the case. He's done keneged chaveiro. The Shofet is not done. The Shofet should say, Odun, I will be the Dayan. Don sounds like I will argue out the case. I will argue out the case on behalf of the Jewish people against the Mitzrayim. The Rishonim point out. Right. In Alanikim, we say three expressions. Ravdas Rivam means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tainan on behalf of the Jewish people. Dantas Dinam, he judged the case. Then the Kamtas Tikmosim, he served as the shofar to implement the punishment. Three different aspects. It's important in these times that we should explain to our children what we mean when we say in the Haggadah, Vayoga Sham, Loshen Geiris, Melamed, Yaakov Vinu didn't chalila decide to leave Eretz Yisrael and to live in Golus permanently. He only wanted to live there temporarily. We have to, it sounds a little strange, a little hypocritical. We're going to explain to our children that we're only here temporarily in America. But we have to, first we have to convince ourselves that it's so. That we have to keep in mind that we really belong, all of us really belong in Eretz Yisrael. If a person can't find the parnassus, so then he has, then he's not mukhif to go live in Eretz Yisrael. Then he can live in Chutzlaz. But really, we don't belong here. And what we're doing here is only temporarily. It's only logosham, only of a temporary nature. That's what we say in our Haggadah. The Jewish people really don't belong in Chutzlaz. We have to also stress to our children and to ourselves. The pasuk says, "We darish in the pasuk and Arami Avodavi, Vahisham legoy, malamit shayisrael mitzuyonim sham." What does the word legoi mean? Malam shal yisom mitzvayonim shal? In Europe, they used to joke, they used to say that the Zionists were not religious at all. They were goyim, they were goyim. Vayisham legoi, zan igven tzionist. Malam shal yisom mitzvayonim, zan igven tzionist. But what is the simple shot?
Why
the Mishnah says himself, you have to darshan arami avad avi.
Why?
Why that? That's a good question. This is Mikra Vikur. This is the parasha Mikra Vikur. Mishnah himself. So that's the question. Why arami avad avi? Why not the Shmos Ve'erabai B'Shama? That's the question. I suggest that perhaps based on the Rabbeinu Yoina in the first Perek in Brochas, it says in the Gemara in Gittin, Daf Samach, that you're not permitted to recite Torah Shebichsav Balpeh. You're not permitted to recite anything from the Tanakh, Balpeh. So the question is, how to recite Kriya Shema Balpeh? So Rabbeinu Yonah says, no, that's a pasuk that says, Dibarta Bom. So the Torah says, that parasha you have to recite. So whenever you have a parasha that you're mechuyav minhatorah to recite, you're permitted to recite it Balpeh. And then he says, and even if you're reciting Kriya Shema Lamito, you already were Yoytik Kriya Shema. You daven Ma'ariv and Shul, you already were Yoytik Kriya Shema. Now you're saying Kriya Shema Lamito before you go to sleep. Even though it's not for the purpose of fulfilling Kriya Shema, that parasha was already exempted from the prohibition of Zoram Shebichsav being forbidden to be recited Balpeh. So then he gives another example and he says the Parsha Satomid. That since we have a din that whoever recites the Parsha HaKarbonis is considered, it's a din HaTorah, is considered as if he had brought the Karbonis, is Man Shein Beis HaMikdash Kayim. HaKadosh Baruch told Avraham Avinu that B'Zchus HaKarbonis we have the right to maintain Eretz Yisrael. And Bisman that you don't have a Beis HaMikdash, what about now? We don't have a Beis HaMikdash. So what right do the Jews have to maintain Eretz Yisrael? So the Gemara says in the end of Megillah, HaKadosh Baruch told Avraham Avinu, have your descendants recite the Parsha HaKarbonis. I will consider it as if your descendants had offered the korbanos, and therefore they still maintain the right to have Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbeinu Yonah says you're permitted to recite Parshas HaTomid and Parshas HaKtoris also about there, because that's a mitzvah and a Torah to recite every day the Parshas HaKorbanos. And even if you're reciting in a second time in the day, once that parsha was singled out as a parsha that may be sometimes recited Balpeh, because it's a chiv to recite it, and then you can always recite it Balpeh. And then he gives us another marshal, he says, Arami Ovidovi. So since sometimes when you bring Bikurim, you have to recite that parsha dafka, that nusach Arami Ovidovi. So even if you're not bringing Bikurim, you can always recite that parsha Arami Ovidovi Balpeh. So I suggested that maybe that's the reason why the Tanoim chose Arami Ovidovi, because in Shmos Ve'er above B'Shalach, that's all Chumash. So you're going to require of every Balabas that he should take a Sefer Torah and start reading from the Sefer Torah. He's going to get it all full of wine. All the Haggadahs are full of wine, full of matzah crumbs, full of Korban Pesach, whatever. So you're going to take a Sefer Torah and start laning. The halacha that you can recite a Parsha Balpeh, if it's required, you can say Kriya Shema Balpeh, and you can say Parsha Satamit Balpeh. That's because that Parsha was singled out by the halacha, but over here, the Torah didn't single out any Parsha. So how do you fulfill the mitzvah of CPC and Sama Pesach night? So the Chachamim wanted to pick a parsha which they knew was mutter to recite Balpeh, namely Parsha Arami Avadavi, because since sometimes you're obligated to recite that parsha bedakib for the purpose of Mikra Bikurim, the Rabbeinu Yonah says it's always permissible to recite that parsha Balpeh. That parsha was exempted from this prohibition. That's a minig to recite those parshas. That's not even a din of the Rabbanon. Not everybody observes that minig even. That's not really a minig. That's why there's a shayla on Tisha B'Av afternoon when he put on the tefillin whether you should recite the parashiyos or not, because on Tisha B'Av it's forbidden to recite anything from the Torah. But the shayla is, since you're not really obligated to recite the four parashiyos of Shema Bohem, Shema Kadesh, Bohem, Kiviyat, it's only a minig, then maybe you should forgo the minig on Tisha B'Av because of the Yisra of Talmud Torah. So the Mishnah Berurah says you should not recite the parashiyos on Tisha B'Av afternoon when you put on the tefillin. Most people don't study the Mishnah Berurah because you're not allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av. Ill the Tisha B'Av you make.
You're laying both times.
Yeah, you're laying, you recite Kriya Shema, you say Pesukei Dezimra, it's a lot of Pesukim. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch, whatever, Seir Hayayim doesn't get people excited. So there's no prohibition of Talmud Torah. Not in a sense happy. The prohibition against learning Torah for an Ovel or for on Tisha B'Av is because Pekudei Hashem Shem Musam Chelei. It makes people very, very happy. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch, whatever is said, yeah, I mean, don't get so happy. It gets us excited in the sense of emunah, but it doesn't get us excited in the sense of joy, like saying a nushtik l'tera that we didn't hear before. So the simple pshat v'ayisham legoy malam shayisom mitzuyonim sham has nothing to do with the Zionist movement or anything. The fact that they were happy Christian. The simple pshat is that the Jewish people separated themselves. They were mitzuyonim. They were separate from the Umas HaOlam. that they didn't blend in with the Nachrim. And the Gemara says, the Medrash says, that Shloshinu Shmam L'Shoinam Malbusham, that they were very, very separate from the Yumas Olam. And the Meshech Chachma, Rav Meir Simcha, points out that these nationalistic mitzvahs that separate the Jewish people from the Yumas Olam are more important when you live in Golus than when you live in Eretz Yisrael. When you live in Eretz Yisrael, the important mitzvahs are Avodah Zarah and Gilui Arayos and Shpichas Damim and all those Averis and Shiluach HaVadim and Shmiteh. It says in all of the Nevi'im why HaKadosh Baruch Hu was sending the Jewish people into Golus. It doesn't say because they didn't speak Ivrit. It doesn't say because they had their Goyish name. It doesn't say because they wore Goyish clothing. They did that too. Those are not the big Averis in Eretz Yisrael. When you live in Golus and there's a Hashash of assimilation, that's not a Hashash, a real Hashash of assimilation. So it's more important to observe, historically, it's more important to observe these nationalistic mitzvahs that will keep, that will maintain our identity as a separate nation. So that's what the pasuk stresses. By Hisham the Goy, that living in Mitzrayim, the Jewish people were very different. They dressed differently. They were Mitzrayim. Wherever they would walk, everybody would see that that person is a Jew. He dressed differently and he spoke differently and he ate differently and everything was very different. Shaloshina Shmam L'Shoyim Al-Bushim. We have to tell us to our children, we have to do it ourselves. We still live in Golus and we have to do everything different. The Baal HaGadah, the Darshan's on the Pasuk, he doesn't say Pashup Shah. He's giving interpretation, Torah Shabbat Peh interpretation. So he Darshan's on the Pasuk, Vayareu Aisana HaMitzrim, Vayanunu, Vayareu Aisana Kamosha Namar, Havin Eschak Molopen, Yirba Bohoyoki, Sikran Melchama, etc. So what is this Pasuk explaining in Vayareu Aisana HaMitzrim? So I'll Salvechi say over what the Maisa Nisim, what the Nesivis quotes from the Rishonim, I think the Abar Benel or others on this comment. If it would have written in the Chumash Vayareu Lanu HaMitzrim, it would have the meaning of that the Mitzrim would mean to us. That they were very, they caused us to suffer a lot. But it doesn't say Vayareu Lanu, that they would mean to us. It says Vayareu Oisanu. So it means that they said that we were bad. Like today. They say the Jews are not loyal to the United States government and say that the Jews are not decent and are not humane and are not this. And that the shechita that we practice is inhumane, and that we discriminate against the women, and everything the Jewish religion does, from Sheshes Meibres, we discriminate against the non-Jews, and we're mean to animals, and we're mean to the women, and we're mean to everybody. The Jews are mean to everybody. So that's mamish, the anti-Semitism that's been going on from the days of Mitzrayim. By Yerei Yoasonu HaMitzrim, that the Mitzrayim are attacking us, that we are terrible people, as it says in the Pasuk. We better do something about these Jewish people because they are our enemies and they are going to join with the enemies and they are going to overturn the government. We're in the world that they trachtoyt azad baba maisa, that we are going to overthrow the government in Mitzrayim. Adarabba, Yosef was the prime minister. He was the one who gave power the whole shlita over the whole land. It was his chachman, his pikkus, who gave the whole, all of the taxes and everything because of storing away all the food and so on. So why should they think that the Jews are going to revolt against the government? So that's what the pasuk says. By Yorei Asana Hamitzrim, as a Yuma Soilom, always attack the Jewish people. The Tzor is that in our generation, as in many, many generations before, the Jews believe it. We read all the anti-Semitic literature, and we fall for their Baba Maisa. So we believe it really, that we really discriminate against the women. So we have to start changing all the Dina Hatzor. We really discriminate against the non-Jews. So we have to change all the laws as far as the non-Jews. And we really are unfair to the animals. We have to change the method of Shechita. We have to have humane slaughter bills and so on. These are always getrachte mices from the anti-Semite. That's the way it always was. Then the Baal HaGadah darshens on the pasuk, "Nitzak al Hashem al Kei Avoseinu k'moshe nemar," and we cried out to Hakadosh Baruch Hu, as it says in the pasuk. And what does it say in the pasuk? "Vahi bayomim harabim hahein, bayomas melech Mitzrayim," and the king of Egypt died. "Vayyoncha b'nei Yisrael min ha'avoda vayizaku." They were correcting from the difficult work. They were complaining from the work. So the Ramban on that Chumash, the Ramban on Chumash, on that Pasuk in Shmos, explains that the Bnei Yisrael really were not in a mood to daven at all. They were so far away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they were not daven. The Pasuk just says that they were correcting and complaining from the difficult work. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his kindness considered the krechtin that they had expressed as if they had daven. So that's what the Baal HaGadah is explaining. Vanitzak al Hashem al Kei Avoseinu is not exactly so. We really didn't daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's rather k'moshe nemar, as the pasuk says, that we were krechtin and Hashem, out of His rachmanis, took our krechtin as if we were daven. It was because the Hashem that it was considered as if we daven, even though we really didn't. pshat. A very difficult pasuk. I rachmi
yomi lam.
Right, the Mefarshim discussed that also. Aren't you taking away from the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim? You're saying that Mitzrayim wasn't so bad. It was worse under Lavan Harami. So the Yetzias Mitzrayim wasn't so gewaldig, because it wasn't so bad. They were only killing the boys, they weren't killing the girls. So they discussed that. What's the significance of bringing in this contrast between between Lavan and the Mitzrayim? It's a different interpretation given by the Mefarshim.
This is called Darwin's door. But Mishnah, the next time, you don't know it. You know, Mitzrayim, you knew what's happening. When Lavan laughs against you, you don't know it.
No, but he's dressing the chold of Adam, the Malayin, Allah Ha'ala is saying that they're bringing out that thing. It's a different interpretation. Vayarasan Yenu Zuprish is Derecheretz. Derecheretz means when the husbands are together with their own wives. That's what we call Balosh Niki, we call that Derecheretz. Prish is Derecheretz means that the Mitzriim, the English translation says, the disruption of family life. The Mitzriim didn't allow the Jewish men to be together with their wives. And that's why the Pasuk says in Shir Hashim, they had to go hide somewhere else to be together. And the Pasuk, and how do you know that the Mitzriim was so mean to the Jewish people that they prevented them from being together? Kemosh Nemar, Vayara Elokim is Bnei Yisrael, Vayeda Elokim. What do you see from that Pasuk? So it doesn't say what. Vayar Vayeda, it doesn't say what. So apparently we assume that the Lashon HaTorah is a Lashon Nekiyah. We should all speak a Lashon Nekiyah like the Torah. We should all speak Lashon HaKodesh. The Rambam writes in the Maariv Hukma that the reason why it's called Lashon HaKodesh is because it's Lashon Nekiyah with respect to these, it's a Lashon of Tzniyah with respect to this area. That the Torah says HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw some terrible thing, Vayeh Delekin, and he knew that there was something terrible going on. It doesn't say what did he see and what did he know, what was so terrible. So the Torah felt that these this area of human activity should not be so spoken of so explicitly. So that's why, and even the Baal HaGadah calls it Prishas Derech Eretz. It doesn't spell out what it is. We should train ourselves also. We live in a generation with so much pretense is going on, so much nevel peh. We should train ourselves in proper speech. One of the many psukim that's quoted by the Baal HaGadah, in order to bring out a point, is the Avarti Be'eretz Mitzrayim Balayla Hazeh. So the Mepharshim point out, isn't that a bizoyim to the Shechinah? That the Shechinah, the Chvoida, the Yatzma is going to pass through Eretz Mitzrayim, which is Molei Avodizah, which is Molei Gilulim. Like if you would have a king come to New York City, they would have to wash the streets first, you know, before they would allow him to go through. Mamas, the streets are dirty. So here in Mitzrayim, maybe it was a clean, it wasn't dirty in the sense of filth like you have in New York. But they had churches on either side of the streets. It's full of Avodah Zarah, Gilulim, Avodah Gilulim. That's why we call it Gilulim. It's like Tzoa, it's like Golo. The V-Pastas, how is that proper for the Shechina to march through Mitzrayim? Ani Hashem, Ani V'lo Ashlech, he went through himself, he didn't send someone else. How is it proper for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to go into Mitzrayim with all of the Gilulim? If Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't allowed to daven in the middle of the city, he had to go outside, and he couldn't get any nevuah in the middle of the city because it's full of Avodah Zarah. So the pasuk that the Shechinah should go through the city. So the pasuk itself explains the answer to this question. It says, "Be'avarti Eretz Mitzrayim, v'chol v'hei Mitzrayim me'etz shkotim." The pasuk itself gives the answer that when the Shechinah will pass through, all of the churches and all the Avodah Zarah will melt away. The Medrash says in that pasuk that those that were from metal melted right away when the Shechinah passed through. Those that were from wood would go up in flames and so on. So it turned out that the Shechinah was cleaning the streets as it was passing through Mitzrayim. So there wasn't a bizoyin to the Shechinah. The streets were clean from Avodah Zarah as the Shechinah went through. The Mishnah quotes the statement of Rabbi Gamliel that on Pesach night, whoever doesn't explain the mitzvah, the reason for Pesach Matzah Maror, that's the most important part of the Haggadah. So the Mefarshim have two different shittas. The Rambam and the Ramban have a machlokes how to understand lo yotze yidei chavosa, what mitzvah is he not yotze. The Rambam says, the Pashup Shah, that he's not yotze the mitzvah, secret yitzhiyat mitzvah. Then on Pesach night there's a mitzvah that you got it for the Vincho, which can only be fulfilled by telling the story of yitzhiyat mitzrayim in the form of tameh hamitzvah. You have to say, we fulfill, or we used to fulfill the mitzvah of Kodem Pesach, we no longer have a Beis Hamikdash. We still fulfill the mitzvah matzah, we still fulfill the mitzvah mar. And the reason for this mitzvah is Yetzias Mitzrayim, etc., etc. So you have to tell the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim for the purpose of explaining the mitzvah salayla. As we said before, that's where the Haggadah begins, with the Mamash Tana, to mention the mitzvah salayla, And then Sabbatim Hayinu to explain why we fulfill these mitzvahs in light of the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Ramban has a completely different shot than Lo Yotzei Dechavasai. The Ramban in the Melchamis, Amsachim understands Lo Yotzei Dechavasai, he's not Yotzei Korban Pesach. He's not Yotzei Matzah, he's not Yotzei Mor. He doesn't say he's not Yotzei Sifu Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Ramban seems to hold that if you would just tell your children on Pesach night the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and not explain that that's why we eat matzah, that's why we eat mor, you would be able to see if it's in trance. It doesn't necessarily have to be told over in the form of explanation of mitzvah halayla. That's what he seems to hold. But he says, well, yotze yedecha yivasa means that you're not yotze the mitzvah pesach. That the mitzvah of korban pesach vishleimus, if you don't tell, you're not yotze at all. How could that be? He says, no. You're not fully yotze the mitzvah pesach, you're not fully yotze the mitzvah matzah, you're not fully yotze the mitzvah mor. That these mitzvahs are for the purpose of pirsumi nisa, not stama mitzvah like yelek tum, zechel anes. No, these are the parsemis anes. So unless you tell the story in conjunction with the mitzvah will not be fully mekuyim. Tosis points out on the Mishnah, the last parak in Pesachim, that the Medrash says that there are 10 shiros that appear in Tanakh. 9 of them were recited l'sha'avar and appear on the occasions of various gulas, and the 10th shira will be recited Lasi Lavai on the occasion of the gula asida. And the Medrash draws the distinction between the 9 and the 1, that the shira that will be recited the Moed HaMashiach on the gula asida is referred to as the shir chadash b'loshin zohar, as opposed to the 9 in the past that are referred to b'loshin akeva as a shira. So here Tosis points out, when we say v'noim alafon of shira chadasho, what does that mean? Does it mean v'noim alafon of, and we will recite in the future on the occasion of the Gula Asida, then you shouldn't say Shira Chadosha, you should say V'nam Alephonim Shira Chadosh. And if you're saying Shira Chadosha, then you really should say V'ne'em Alephonim, that at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Hotzionim Yabdus L'cheirus, and at that time, V'ne'em Alephonim, Shira Chadosha was recited at that time. But the Nusach that we say V'ne'em Alephonim, and we will say Shira Chadosha, that's a problematic Nusach, it's an androgynous. He's saying V'ne'em Alephonim, and we will say, and then you say Shira Chadosha instead of saying Shira Chadosh. So that's what's in the Shulchan Aruch, they quote from the Shalach Kodesh, that you have to choose. You either say in the future V'neimar and you say Shir Chadosh, or you say V'neimar and you say Shir Chadosh. And they say in the name of the Briskerov that he pointed out that our Gersis is to be understood very well. So we're neither referring to the fact that B'nai Yisrael recited the Shir on the occasion of its peace and strife, nor are we referring to the Shir Chadosh that will be recited Lasi Lovoi on the occasion of the Gula Asida. You just have to read the whole paragraph, like the Maram Chalav explains on this Mishnah. The Chol Dov Adar Chai Banam Liris Esat Mekilu Hu Yatsim Mitzrayim. Everyone has to feel as if he just left Mitzrayim tonight. Lefichach, therefore, Anach Mechayom Lahodus, we have an obligation to recite Halo tonight. And therefore, because Halo B'Shat Hanas, we just left Mitzrayim. So therefore, V'noim Olafonav Shira Chadosh, right now, we're not referring to V'noim Olafonav, and we will recite Ashir Limois HaMashiach. We're saying, therefore, we want, we're not saying that we have recited the Shira had been recited at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. We're saying we will now recite the Shira Chadosh of Hallel, Hallel B'Shas HaNes of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Mishnah Berurah has a taina against the reciting of Zechel HaMikdash Kehilo. He says that in the Shulchan Aruch it says that when you say the bracha on the morrow, you're not permitted to be mafsik, you're not allowed to talk until after you eat the Kairach. Because the bracha on the morrow refers both to the morrow, to the Gezayis that you eat by the Mara, and the Gezayis of Mara that you eat during the Karach. In fact, you're not supposed to talk after reciting of the Bracha al achilas matzah and the eating of the Karach. You're not allowed to talk in between the matzah and the Mara either, unnecessarily, because the Bracha of al achilas matzah relates to the Karach as well. So the Mishnah Berurah has a taina that how does the Shulchan Aruch come off to, how does it say in the Haggadah that you recite Zechel HaMikdash Kehillah? He says he thinks that it's a mistake. He thinks that this was in tiny letters, and these were the instructions. They should eat Kairach, Zechel HaMikdash Kehillah. This is what Hillel did, but it's not part of the Nusach HaGod. He doesn't think that you're supposed to say. So that's why some people are medaktik, because they're nervous about the Mishnah Berurah's taina. So they say the Zechel HaMikdash Kehillah, but it is printed in big letters. So they say after they finish swallowing the whole Kairach, then they say the Zechel HaMikdash
Kehillah.
But Chaim Balazhina has tainas against reciting Shir HaMalas before the bench. All year long, not just on Pesach night. He says just like he came up with these two chidushim. There's a chachamim who are mistaken that you should recite the Birchas Hamazon in a specific nusach. When a Tari can recite the Birchas Hamazon in any nusach you choose, but the Rabbanah, they compose the nusach, so you have to say their nusach. So if someone wants to chapois and say tzumi shaloy achalnu, which is an abridged form of the entire Birchas Hamazon before he benches, so he's yoytze the benching min haTorah. So he says that the one who recites tzumi shaloy before benching is in violation of the takanas chachamim, that he's supposed to recite benching in their nusach, not in your nusach. You're not supposed to compose your nusach. So his Highness is the same regarding Shir HaMalos. If you're in the middle of the meal on Shabbos or Yom Tov or Pesach, and you start talking about the matzah of an Eretz Yisrael, you get to speak about Yerushalayim, and you talk about the Beis HaMikdash, and say the Baruch Shem Shav Rachman itself. So if it came up in conversation, it's wonderful. But if it didn't happen to come up in the middle of the conversation, and you have to fulfill it, HaKanas HaKamim, and say, Yivnei Yerushalayim HaKadosh B'Meiru Yameinu, Baruch Atah Hashem B'Yir Rachman Yerushalayim Amen, and you chapois, and you say Shir HaMalos before, so he says, you're yoytze the haskoras Yerushalayim, shaloi benusach habracha. You're being yoytze the chiyuv min haTorah to mention Yerushalayim in the benching, not in the nusach that the chachamim are mitakne. So he says that it's not right. He's opposed to the reciting of Shir HaMalos on principle all year long. The mark of Shir HaMalos comes from the Magen Avraham. It comes from the Magen Avraham, I think, quotes it from the Shalom HaKodesh. That all year long, you should either say Al Narez Bavel or say Shir HaMalos before the benching, in order to have Divrei Torah in the meal, and in order to have maskeres for Yerushalayim, for the Echud Beis Amin. But Rav Chaim Alajaner is quoted as saying that he's opposed to the Shir HaMalos for the same reason that he's opposed to the Tzumi Shaloi Achalnu. Right, right. For other reasons. He's opposed to a lot of things. In the name of the Vilna Gaon, they quote that Tzni Yeshivas, they don't exactly say this overright. In the name of the Vilna Gaon, it is quoted in the Maaseh Rav that on Shabbos and Yom Tov, when it's forbidden to recite Tchines, so he wouldn't recite all of the Harachmans. He would only recite the first three Harachmans. And he wouldn't recite Harachman when he was trying to say the Mechavit Teitzke about Parnosa. You're not supposed to worry about Parnosa on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Rachman who Yishbo later in the Alta Rain, you're not supposed to craft about you're not supposed to ask for gula either, you're not supposed to worry about it on Shabbat. Rachman Yishalfan Barakham Ruba Babai Kazay, ask for money, ask for riches, also not. Yishalfan is Eliyahu Novi, the Gemara says Eliyahu Novi is not going to come on Shabbat, not going to come on Yom Tov. So he's supposed to leave out all of these Harachmans on Shabbat and Yom Tov. You should only say the first three, which are not about Parnasa, not about Chinas, and then the Vilna Gaon used to skip Hila Harachman for Shabbat and Harachman for Yom Tov, and continue till the end, unless he was eating by somebody else, and you have to say Rachman or Yivokas Balabai says there, that's a takana, that's either a din minatera or a takana of the Rabbanu, that's part of the bench. And Yeshivas and Mizalzu Bechlal, a lot of times they say, the Vilna Gaon didn't say Harachman. It's not true, he didn't say all of the Harachmans on Shabbat. And the weekdays he did say all the Harachmans. On Shabbat he didn't say all of the Harachmans. But because Harachman is not really an intrinsic part of the Birchas HaMazon is really over at the end of the line, Liyola Malyachasre, and they quote at the end of the Vilna Gaon that if you're listening to someone reciting Birchas HaMazon, you should say Amen. That's where the end of the bracha is. Liyola Malyachasre, you should say Amen. So therefore, the tzur has a dispute with his brother when you drink a kosher bracha, like on Pesach night, where we recite Birchas HaMazon ala Yayin, so you're supposed to hold a cup of wine the whole time while you bench, and then after the benching, you say Baruch Yagofen, you're not supposed to be mafsik in between the benching and the Bar Piyagofen. So where exactly do you recite the Bar Piyagofen? So the Tzur thinks that the Nishgefelech, if you wait till after all the Harachmans, and then you say the Bar Piyagofen at the very end, he doesn't see that Harachman should constitute a hefsik. And his brother thinks, Rabbeinu Yechiel, his brother thinks that it is a hefsik. He thinks that you should say Bar Piyagofen right after the Yerla Mayachasim. So those who always say Harachmans all year long can follow the Tzur. Those who don't say Harachmans all year long, at Punkt on Pesach night, they have a lot of time, so then they're going to say Arachmas. But as far as they're concerned, it's not really part of the benching. Baharai, all year long, they don't say it. So they should really say the Baruch Piyagofen right after the Olam Ayah Hashem. Unless they're reading by somebody else, then they have to say first the Bracha, Arachmas, Baruch Balabai says that, this is the Baruch Balabai says that, and then say the Baruch Piyagofen and recite the Bracha. In many Haggadahs, they have printed a Lashem Yichud before the Baruch Piyagofen, before everything. So it's not really right to recite at this point, to recite the Lashem Yichud, that would really be a hefsik. You're not supposed to be mafsik between the benching and the Baruch Piyagofen. I have to follow one after the other. Magen Avraham quotes such an issue regarding the final bracha as well. The last Baruch Piyagofen is to be recited after the Birchas Hashir, after the bracha that you recite over the Hallel. So again, in this art scroll, Haggadah, they have the Baruch Piyagofen right after the bracha of Yishtabach, right at the conclusion of the bracha of Yishtabach. And the Magen Avraham quotes that other Nischos have the Baruch Piyagofen later after half of the piyutim are over, because you're not allowed to drink any more wine later, so you may get thirsty. So many communities, they develop the meaning that you recite Bar Pilgel and halfway through all the piyutim, so you won't get thirsty later. And others hold that, no, that's not right, that all of these piyutim are not nikar as in the wrong department. So you're not permitted to be mafsik in between the bracha of Yishtabach and the Bar Pilgel, you should say the Bar Pilgel right away. At the conclusion, at the final conclusion of the Seder, leaving out all the piyutim, what we call the Seder is Kadashuch, as Kadashuch, and so on, so the final section is Nirtso. The term Ritzu appears in Chumash and Tanakh almost always only in connection with Karbanis. When you bring a Karban to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you want that the Karban should be a Ritzu. On Pesach night, even though we haven't brought the Karban Pesach, but we have spoken about the Karban Pesach a lot, say Pesach Shahayah V'Seh is Mancha V'Seh V'Seh and so on. So after speaking about the Karban Pesach, then we recite the Nirtza that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should accept our speaking about the Karban Kilo we had been makriv the Karban. HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us the see that this year we should be able to eat the Karban Pesach much. Wait for next week.
Do you want to take it of David Limerick?